Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very accomplished professional from Gurgaon, India, Smita Das Jain. Smita, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh. A pleasure for me to be here with you.
Thank you. Smita is the founder and chief executive officer of Empower Yourself Coaching. She's an executive and personal empowerment life coach, and she's an author. She's an author of three books, and we'll speak about her books. Smita was earlier with KPMG, United Technologies, and JLL, and she's been named as one of the top 10 executive coaches in Asia in 2022. So Smita, tell me a little bit about your journey, and after a successful corporate career, what made you become a coach?
So I was born as Smita Das to a father who was in the Indian Army and a homemaker mother. My father's defense background meant that my childhood was practically spent across all corners of the country, exposing me to different people, cultures, and cuisines at a pretty early age. Then I did my BCom honors from SRCC Delhi University, followed by my master's in business administration from the Indian Institute of Management, Indore. I joined KPMG India in their management consulting division after completing my MBA. There, I advised Indian and global clients in their strategies and transformation. For much of my tenure in the corporate world, which has been for 14 years, I was a strategy person. But in stints with United Technologies Corporation and JLL, I also headed the finance functions and the business unit. Sometime in March 2021, I decided to quit my corporate career to pursue my passions and see if I can transform them into professions. So that was when I decided to start two brand new careers, both simultaneously from the confines of my home. One of being a writer, the second of being an executive coach and a personal empowerment life coach. Today, 2.5 years later, it has been a journey of 1,000+ client coaching hours, 3 published books. I can confidently say that I'm living my dream and loving every minute of it.
Wonderful. So since you've spoken about 3 books in 2 years and coaching, tell me a little bit about your books and what, how do you manage to do so much in such little time?
I honestly feel if you love something, you will find time for it no matter what. I have been from an early age, I have been an exploratory writer, though it is only like since the last 2 years that I've picked it up seriously. My morning starts as early as 5 a.m. So 5 to 7 is my writing time. That's when my entire household is asleep, no ringing of doorbells, no phone calls. And that is my writing time. And I have been writing consistently like this every day since the past 2 years.
Wonderful.
And that is how the 3 books came about. So I write both fiction and nonfiction. All 3 of my published books so far have been in fiction. So a slice of life, every person has a story, is a collection of 18 short stories depicting about the extraordinary narratives that lie between behind ordinary human beings. A Price to Love is a novel that is set against the corporate India backdrop and depicts the struggle of a woman in balancing her professional ambitions with her personal life. While my latest Twisted Tales and Turn is again a short story collection of 20 multi-genre short stories with a twist at its end. So that's a plot device. But more than that, it symbolizes the resilience of the human spirit that endures beyond this world, despite the unpredictability of life. And I've been fortunate that all 3 have been bestsellers. Readers has accepted it. And by passion, I am a writer, so that won't change. And apart from that, those hours of 5 to 7, the rest of the day is devoted entirely to coaching. That's where most of my time goes.
So let's now come to coaching. You call yourself a personal empowerment life coach. What is personal empowerment coaching? And give me an example.
Sure. So, I would call personal empowerment as a process that aims to support individuals in recognizing their inner potential, building self-awareness, and developing the skills and mindset necessary to take control of their lives and achieve their goals. As an example, actually, let me take my own self 2 years ago, or rather 2.5 years ago. So I mentioned earlier that I had a 14-year-old corporate tenure. Now, during the last 2, 3 years of my corporate tenure, I was sort of disengaged and disillusioned. I was doing well, but I wasn't happy with what I was doing. There came a thought, am I meant to work only on PowerPoints? Is this how life is going to be? For the last 2, 3 years of the tenure, I had this thing in me, I need to do something else, I want to do something else. So I felt stuck. And that is where, at that point of time, when the thought first came, I didn't have the courage to leave everything that I've been doing so far in my career and do something else, right? Now, let's take that Smita of 2.5 years ago. At that point of time, a personal empowerment coach would have worked with her to identify her strengths and values, clarify her goals, and develop a step-by-step action plan. Through this coaching process, Smita gains the confidence and determination to make a successful career transition. Okay. At the heart of this personal empowerment coaching is making individuals believe in themselves and transform their lives by making a mindset shift. See, all the answers that a person wants, they are within them. Okay. It's the job of a coach to harness those resources within and make the individual see the mirror that, hey, you can do anything you want to. So that is what personal empowerment is. I hope that I was able to make it clear.
No, great response. Thank you. And my follow-up question, Smita, is that how do concepts of personal empowerment intersect with leadership roles in a corporate world?
That's a great question, Ashutosh, and I'm happy that you asked. Leaders are humans first who happen to perform a particular role in a particular setting, right? Like any other people, any ordinary people like you and me, they are also besieged with doubts and the imposter syndrome phenomenon. That is where this personal empowerment comes in. It helps them to develop that confidence. To be more precise, there is a symbiotic relationship in four significant ways. Number one, personal empowerment enhances decision making. Okay. An individual who is empowered, they will trust their instincts more frequently and take calculated risk, and as a result, be more decisive in their work. Number two, development of resilience. So personal empowerment fosters ready resilience in dealing with challenges and change. An empowered leader equipped with resilience adapts to changes more swiftly and leads their team through transitions effectively. Number three, a growth mindset. So, personal empowerment encourages a growth mindset, encourages continuous learning and development. In a leadership role, an empowered leader will motivate their team to embrace challenges and view failures. And by setting an example himself, he will foster a culture of learning within the team and organization. And number four, last but not the least, effective communication and influential leadership. Now, empowerment emphasizes clear communication and active listening. Leaders who are empowered tend to be better communicators, and understand the importance of conveying ideas effectively and actively. Okay, so I would say effective communication is a cornerstone of influential leadership, and personal empowerment lays the foundation of this effective communication. Ultimately, an empowered leader creates a ripple effect within the organization, contributing to a positive work culture.
Great response. Thank you. My next question, Smita, is that, I remember when I started working, and I'm much older than you. Coaching and mentoring was done either by a family elder or by someone senior in a company who took a liking for you. My question to you is that how has coaching changed, and how do you tackle a coachee who's skeptical or resistant to being coached?
I will take the first part first. How has coaching changed? I would say with the technological changes, with a better understanding of workplace dynamics, and a deeper appreciation of human behavior and organizational needs, coaching has changed significantly. Of course, I have been coaching for the last 2.5 years, but before that, I was on the other side. So I've seen coaches who come and coach leaders and people in the organization. I would say the single biggest change is the recognition that coaching is a personal development intervention rather than a punitive measure. A decade ago, when I had, I was like 4 to 5 years old into the corporate world, it was more about, okay, somebody is not doing well, just attach a coach if that person was at a senior level so that he improves in performance. Now, of course, I would say in India, at least the large organizations are realizing the benefits of having their top management and middle management leaders work with a coach. I mean, I have been coaching organizations where I started with coaching their top leaders and then gradually I'm moving one level and two levels below. Coaching at a middle level is something that was definitely not prevalent, even I would say 5 years ago. The second I would say is the acceptance of technology-enabled coaching. Now, previously it was all in person, right? Then 5 years ago, things started to change. Then, of course, COVID came and it changed the pace of how
Absolutely.
interactions are conducted via technology. So now, organizations realize that technology actually makes coaching more accessible and flexible. Both personal clients and even organizations are now not averse to having those virtual coachings. Knowing that, okay, it is also as effective as in-person coaching. And last but not the least, there is a better appreciation that technically proficient leaders also need to be more emotionally intelligent. So there's a lot of focus on empathy. Like I have had, HRs of organizations come to me and say, hey, he's a great leader, but I would really want your help to make him more empathetic. Now, those were not the sort of conversations that was prevalent even, 2 years ago when I started my journey. So that's the
Well
thing.
said. Well said. Well said. And since you just spoke about emotional intelligence, gives me a good segue to my next question, which is, what role does emotional intelligence play in effective leadership? And how do you cultivate this in your clients?
I honestly believe that emotional intelligence is a linchpin of effective leadership. Unless you understand your own emotions and, more importantly, regulate it, you will not be able to establish understanding with others. And emotionally intelligent leaders recognize their emotions, understand their trigger points, and manage their responses constructively. And the way I approach this is first, if I'm coaching someone for emotional intelligence, I would first do an EQ assessment, understanding in which of the five elements of emotional intelligence the leader is strong and he needs more improvement. Then I help them recognize the areas of improvement and how they can embark on a journey. What is the benefit of it? Techniques like mindfulness, self-reflection, and active listening aid empower leaders to make informed, empathetic decisions, which ultimately fosters a very positive work environment and stronger relationships. In my experience, I have seen an emotionally aware leader is a better communicator, and instead of avoiding conflicts, they actually play a very, very constructive role in resolving conflicts, which the higher you go in the hierarchy, that's a very important skill to have, conflict resolution.
Fascinating. My next question again is something you spoke about a few minutes ago on an imposter syndrome, a thing that all of us seem to go through in the corporate world. How do you address the issue of imposter syndrome? And there are two aspects of it. First is getting the coachee to recognize that they could be an imposter syndrome, and second, getting the coachee to understand that it doesn't it's not negative to have an imposter syndrome.
Yes, you rightly said that, Ashutosh. Firstly, I mean, I coach both top management and senior level executives as well as middle level, and I would say imposter syndrome is common even among high
Absolutely.
level executives.
Everywhere,
It's
yeah.
not, yeah, exactly. Now, I address it first by fostering a safe, non-judgmental space where
Correct.
they can openly express their insecurities.
Correct.
So many a time, the fact that they are being heard in a patient and non-judgmental manner helps them to clear their head space. Okay. And then I share with them, hey, you are not alone in this. It is quite common. And that, I mean, the fact, the realization that we are not alone in this journey, that somehow makes us more comfortable.
Right.
Okay, that hey, it's not only me who is suffering
Yeah.
from this. After that, through targeted coaching, I help identify their strengths, accomplishments, and the value they bring to the table. Here, one of the most, I would say, effective and significant tools in my coaching armory is something that I call the fact versus perception game. Okay. Many a time, most of the things that we believe that, hey, we are not good enough, we are failures, and all those feelings that come to our mind, they are perception based, right?
Correct.
So I help them separate the perception from fact. So if the fa if I think I am not good enough, I am not performing well, that's a perception. But the excellent rating that I may have in my performance evaluation, that's a fact, right? And many a time when we separate perception from facts, people realize that, okay, a lot of things are in our head. The things in the ground is something else. And then I help them reframe those perceived failures as learning experiences, helping them build that confidence and recognize that they do belong to their roles. For those feelings of underconfidence, which are backed by facts, which is the case sometimes, we see how do we see that as a challenge and overcome this. It may take some skill improvement, it may take some networking, it may be some other way, but we see how do we do that. Techniques like visualization, affirmations, and setting achievable goals aid in overcoming this imposter syndrome and
Well said.
help leaders embrace their
Well
authentic
said. Well
capabilities.
said. Great response. My next question, Smita, is that how important is it for executives to align their personal values with their corporate roles? And I know that I also coach a few people. This seems to be a conflict in some very, very senior leaders' minds.
I know, Ashutosh, that my work experience is, a lot less than yours, but
No,
I have a
that's not
personal,
paha.
no, but
Absolutely.
I am saying I have
Yeah.
my personal experience to say
Absolutely.
that it is absolutely important because I have seen it in myself. Okay. So for, I had a great and exciting corporate career and I have great regard for the organizations I worked in. Whatever I have reached is because of my tenure there and the learning I had. But yet there was a feeling of restlessness throughout, okay? And that is what happens when the work you do is not aligned with your personal values. No matter how much accomplishments you have, the sense of purpose and motivation lacks, okay? So those successes that happen, they will give you the temporary highs. And again, it would be like, okay, what am I doing? Okay. On the other hand, when your personal values is aligned to the mission and vision of your organization, the decisions and actions you take resonate with your beliefs, and that fosters an authenticity and integrity. Okay, and I would say leaders and executives should strive for this alignment, not only to succeed in their roles. Okay, let me be very clear. You can succeed in your roles even if your values is not aligned with that of the organization. But the long-term fulfillment, The feeling, the motivation that you are contributing to a greater cause will only come when that alignment is there. And then you get this feeling, hey, you belong. Like the way now I'm doing coaching, even though it's 2.5 years, and when you compare 2.5 years with 14 years, it's like nothing. But there's this feeling I have, hey, I belong here.
Well said. Well said. So, Smita, I have time for two more questions for you. When we were speaking of personal values, the one of the things that also comes up repeatedly is that when a coachee is in a toxic work environment or under a management that does not align with their values, how do you as a coach support them?
Unfortunately, a toxic work environment is a lot more common than it should
Absolutely.
be. Okay, and so in this case, I employ a multifaceted approach. First, I and the coach work on those coping mechanisms to manage immediate stress and maintain well-being. Okay, first thing is, okay, immediately do this so that you feel better, so that you think clearly. Otherwise, you know, it will all seem hazy and you will feel that if you are lost and there is no way out. Now, once you know, a coach is in a better frame of mind, he is managing his stress better. I help him explore his long-term goals and values, and then arrive at a conclusion, or rather, you know, a decision whether a career change or environment shift is necessary. If that is the case, and then we work together to devise a strategic plan to transition smoothly. Now, this might include skill development, networking, or exploring new opportunities. And throughout, as a coach, I provide that emotional support to them, making them believe that, okay, this is a phase and this also shall pass, and they have it in them to navigate challenges and emerge stronger. So when they see that they have a clear roadmap and the situation is temporary, the mindset improves. They look at the situation as a temporary stopgap in their long career.
Well said. And my last question to you, Smita, and this is for the thousands of people who will listen to our conversation. Based on your own journey, and now as a coach who has coached so many people, what would you say are three lessons you would want a lot of our viewers and listeners to take away?
Okay, so number one, empowerment is personalized. Okay, so personal empowerment is not a one size fits all concept. It's about understanding your unique strengths, values, and circumstances to craft your empowering journey. You are not anyone else. You are you. Embrace your individuality and seek a coach who understands and nurtures that uniqueness. Number two, learning and growth is a continuous process. Embrace this process. Be a lifelong learner. It's crucial not only for success in the corporate world. Any role you do, you may be in any field, personal development is important. Stay curious, adapt to changes, and constantly seek opportunities to expand your knowledge and skills. And last, your past does not define your future. We
Wonderful.
are all evolutionary creatures who change with time. So you are a different person in your 20s and 30s. You will be a different person in your 40s and 50s. That thing that people call as a midlife crisis or a mid-career crisis, it's nothing but a tipping point of evolution. You have changed as a person. So if you think, okay, you enjoyed a career before, or you enjoyed this hobby before, why it does not give you that much interest? It is natural. Become aware of it and work to achieve your potential.
Very well said. Smith, on that note, and your three amazing lessons, empowerment is personalized. One size does not fit all. Second, you said, was learning and growth is continuous. Be a lifelong learner, embrace it. And the third one, which is so fantastic, your past does not define your future. And since you were talking about 20s, 30s, and 40s, I started working when I was 21 after my business school, and I'm now 67. And I can tell you that every decade that we go through, your experience just adds more for the decade that's coming ahead. And
Yes,
there's so much to look
absolutely.
forward to. So thank you so much for ending on such a powerful and positive note. Thank you for speaking to me about your journey. Thank you for speaking to me about so many different aspects of personal empowerment coaching. Thank you also for speaking to me about your books. I'm sure one of these days I'll see a book coming from you on personal empowerment coaching. Thank you for speaking to me, Smita, and good luck.
Absolute pleasure, Ashutosh. Thank you for having me here. I had a wonderful time. Thank you so
Thank you.
much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the brand called You Videocast and Podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.